Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Do mothers make good employees? And do children make good bosses? Find out today on Advanced. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom for day 3 of our business article this month. And it's a pretty unique twist on a business article. Usually when we talk about business, we're talking about different strategies and leadership and so on. But today and for the last couple of days, we've been asking the question, is hiring your mom risky business? Well, I'm Naomi and I'm not a mother, but we have a mother in the studio. Linda, welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be here with you all. I'm the mother.
And we also have a father in the studio. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Naomi. Good to be back.
Okay, so what have we been talking about for the last couple of days? Can you start us off?
Well, we've been talking about the pros and cons, meaning what are the good things and what are maybe some of the treacherous things about hiring your mom as an employee. And so we've met at least three entrepreneurs who have had some very interesting situations hiring their mothers.
Mm-hmm. And what have been some of the pros?
Well, if you hire your mother, you will get trustworthiness. You'll have somebody who is honest with you and give her real point of view or feeling or feedback. You will get a probably pretty mature perspective on your business, and you can trust her.
Which is huge. And we discussed that yesterday, just how difficult it can be to find employees that you can really trust. But what about the cons?
Well, you might talk about business outside of work. I'm sure you have dinner with mom or you'll see her at other family outings, and it can be a little frustrating if all she wants to talk about is what happened at the office that day.
That's always frustrating when you leave work but you can't get away from it. It gets a little exhausting, but there are other issues as well.
I might want a raise. Could tell they don't want to give me one, can't you?
Well, also, would you even want to ask? Wouldn't it feel awkward just all around?
I don't know. I think as a mother, when your kids have asked for money for how many years?
Right.
Okay. Good point. All right. Well, what are some of the vocabulary-focused terms that have stood out to you, Josh?
Well, it was funny. In the first day, we talked several times about naval-type words, about someone being in charge. We said they were at the helm, and we pictured mom at the front of a ship leading your boat. But in this case, it means she's controlling the organization.
Right. She's behind the wheel, you know, and she's helping out. We also talked about bringing people on board as another naval term. What else did we discuss as far as specialized terms and so on?
Well, I like the word treacherous here, not because I am, but because it's a very apt description of a very dangerous territory. Often we say treacherous waters. Here we said treacherous territory. So if you bring your parent or your mother in particular into your business, you know, it could be pretty treacherous because they know too much.
Okay. There's too many tensions that can arise and tricky situations to navigate, to use yet another travel term.
And with all our mom talk, we've talked about an adjective, maternal, which talks about a mother's feelings or her abilities. It could also describe your parents, your maternal grandparents are your mom's parents.
Mm-hmm. Now, finally, our last point for yesterday, we were talking about how sometimes kids have this idea that their moms are superwoman and they know how to do everything.
Well, aren't we?
Mine is.
I am. I'm sure of it. Well, you do have to be a little bit careful. We had a very good example here of this construction, Matt Beth construction owner Williams, and he hired his mother and then he left the country and left her in charge. And it's not like she didn't know what she was doing because she had been a manager and before and worked in construction companies. But in the first week, they lost tons of money. So he found out that she might be superwoman at home, but maybe in the office she needed a little more guidance on how to take off.
Right. We said she's fallible. So in other words, imperfect. She can make mistakes. It's possible for her to do something wrong.
And your mom is infallible, right, Naomi?
I thought so for a long time. No, in some ways I still feel that way about her. So I think it would be a challenge for me, too, to sometimes think, oh, wait, maybe my mother doesn't know how to do this? Is that possible? And, you know, yesterday we kind of left off with that idea that even a mom needs training at a job. I think maybe even just the fact that to be a mom, you don't technically have to take a class or go through any kind of, you know, introduction to motherhood. And so we think, well, they have that instinct, so they must know how to do this too. And if I know how to do it, my mother must know how to do it. In fact, Williams was not the only one who has made this kind of bad decision. We'll continue on page 22 with today's reading.
Discuss expectations ahead of time. Williams' initial assumption that things would just work out is fairly common in this situation, says family business consultant Rivers. Often, a child has so much confidence in a mom, they don't treat her like a new employee. With family, there is that bond of trust, Rivers said. You may not have a job description for mom, or you may not make mom's boundaries really clear. The key to making this arrangement work is to have frank discussions about goals, compensation, work hours, and even if a mother should be called mom or by her first name in the office, say family business experts. It can feel uncomfortable discussing expectations and consequences because you're talking about a role reversal, said Andrew Kite, executive director of Loyola University Chicago's Family Business Center. But a game plan can help save a personal relationship if the business relationship falters, he said.
So Williams had an initial assumption, and we sometimes talk about a first impression or a first idea or an original plan, those things that come first before you get to the reality of a situation. And so that initial assumption was what?
Well, that things would just work out, that if mom came in here, all would be great. And it's probably been the case for many years in his life that when mom was around, things went smoothly. She took care of everything. But this was the first time they'd ever worked together.
Right. But unfortunately, this kind of assumption is quite common. And that's according to Wayne Rivers. Can you remind us about him, Linda?
Well, Wayne Rivers owns the Family Business Institute, which is a consulting agency for a consulting firm for small businesses. He does things on conflict resolution, estate planning, things like that. And he also offers a lot of workshops to help businesses stay in business.
So he's a real expert in this field. And he's obviously run into this kind of situation many times. He goes on to sort of explain some of the reasons behind it.
Well, I think the biggest reason here that he's pointing out is the trust factor, that you don't have a job description, but you just assume that she knows what to do, and you might not make any boundaries for her, so she might cross over, as we may be prone to do from time to time.
You mean crossing boundaries? That happens in your family?
My kids live in another country.
Oh, well,
so
that works
very
out.
Often. I literally cross boundaries to see them. But here, you know, they can go across. Maybe inside you're thinking they'll take care of this area, and actually your mom is like taking care of like four other areas that you mm-hmm. hadn't even anticipated. But one of the reasons is there's that bond of trust, and so you don't describe anything. There's no job description.
I think it's really fascinating how so often in life the things that are positive qualities can also be the things that are negative qualities. So in this case, we were just talking about how wonderful it is that you can trust your mother, and that would be a great reason to hire her. You can give her the keys. You can give her the company account information, and you're absolutely not worried at all. However, having so much trust and confidence could get you into trouble too.
That's right. If you don't set those boundaries, we said, and make sure that she understands exactly what her role is going to be and not just assume that she'll figure it out because she might overstep those boundaries and think that she should be running the company.
Right. I think there's another point here just in my own experience. Sometimes I think, well, I've explained so much about my job to my mother. I've talked to her so much about it. She must understand what I do. She must understand how my day goes, when actually she doesn't really know. I mean, it's not that she wasn't listening. She just hasn't been trained. She hasn't been introduced. So I think that could be kind of a part of it, too. You talk about work socially enough that you think professionally everything will just click, but you end up not treating her like a new employee, and then you don't get some of the basic training. So you were mentioning already, Linda, that bond of trust that exists.
Mm-hmm. I think the bond of trust covers a lot. You know, it's the big umbrella that overarches the relationship. Mm-hmm. And so our expectation, when there's trust, our expectations are a lot higher.
Right.
And I don't even know if I think it's so much that we have to train them. I think that we have to make clear the expectations, because, you know, we have to realize they're coming from years of experience. And so if we go back to our example from yesterday of Williams, it wasn't that she didn't know what she was doing. It's that she didn't know what he was doing in this situation. So she didn't know how to handle what he left her to do, because he gave her no instruction.
Right. So Rivers is saying you may not have a job description for mom. Well, it sounds a little nuts, because of course you have a job description for your employees. They need to know what they have to get done. But you might not in this case.
That's right. You might just assume that she's been in this field before. It said William's mother had worked in construction, and he assumed she would take care of things. Now, none of us have worked with our mothers, but have you ever taught your mother anything? Is there a sense of, maybe a case-by-case ability for a mom to want to learn something from her child?
Have you ever learned from your kids?
No. But, I think it's quite fascinating, actually, to study the personal side of this. You know the show on Travel and Living, the Cupcake Sisters?
Yes.
You know, the DC Cupcakes, right? And their mother, I mean, I'm assuming they always call her mommy, and she's clueless.
Right.
She comes in. You know, it's very interesting to me to watch their interaction, because she comes in and tastes a few things, and then, but they always talk about her like she has no idea what she's doing. We could never trust her with this.
Right.
But she wants to be a part of it. I just think it's so interesting how they incorporate her in she's part of the company, but not.
Right. Yeah. I have taught my mother a couple of things, but it's funny. It is a case-by-case situation, because certain things she's like confident and comfortable with the idea that I would know more about them than her. For instance, if she's writing an essay, she'll send it to me to proof it, give it a little edit. But in other areas, if I try to explain something to her, she'll just give me a look like, how dare you tell me what to do, girly, you know?
Well, yes, my mother's the same way. She'll take direction on computers when I teach her how to use hers or fix it. But if I ask her to watch my children in a certain way, that is certainly crossing the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can understand that. Oh, that is true for computers. I can use any help in the area of electronics. Anybody can help me.
I think we all have our areas of humility where we know it's not a strength and we're ready to take as much guidance as we can get.
Yeah, I would tell my son never to hire me. I mean, his field, when he starts talking about his field, I'm like zoning right out.
Oh, no. Yeah, but I think actually that goes a little bit beyond just mothers and kids as well, where sometimes it's just an age thing, where if someone who's 10 years younger than me starts to tell me how to do something, immediately I get a little defensive because I think, well, I'm older than you.
Right.
So I think that's a pretty natural tendency anyway. And so I can see how in a mother-child relationship, it would just get magnified. It would get worse. But according to our article, as we continue in line 11, there's a secret here to success.
Yes, it says the key or the most important element in making the arrangement work is to have frank discussions. And when you have frank discussions, the adjective there is frank. It's not a discussion with a man named Frank. It's about being very honest and open.
Right.
But I think it's also very specific what the discussions are about. It's not that you're a terrible employee and are clueless. It's about goals. It's about compensation, so you can expect to know what you're going to get paid or if you're going to get paid, and the work hours, and what you should be calling your mom.
Hmm.
That's a really interesting factor that I didn't even consider. If you worked with your mother or your father, what would you call them?
I would have a real tough time calling my mom Diana. I think that would be strange.
Okay.
I think I'd still call her mom, but maybe not on the loudspeaker.
Right.
For the whole office to hear. Yeah.
I have friends who taught their children. I mean, they were a school teacher and their child was in their class. Mm. To me, that would be very, and the child was six.
Okay.
So is she going to, is he or she going to say Mrs. Smith or,
right,
you know, whatever?
Yeah. I think I could call my mom by her first name because I do it sometimes anyway, not to her face, not when I'm addressing her, but when I'm talking about her. Sometimes I do. I have step-siblings, and they don't call her mom. They call her Petra. So, of course, with them, sometimes we'll use her first name as well. So I think maybe I could get used to that, but it must be case by case as well.
I think so. My daughter always calls me by my first name when she wants my attention. When she said, Mom, Linda.
Yes.
What?
Okay, but all these discussions can feel a little bit awkward to bring up that word again.
That's right. It may be difficult, uncomfortable in discussing these sorts of things. And we're going to meet yet another expert in family business. This article really surprised me how many people are dedicated to helping family businesses.
Right. It seems like people agree that family businesses can be a wonderful thing, but there are unique challenges here. So they need to really understand how to solve those. In this case, it's Andrew Kite, who's executive director of Loyola University Chicago's Family Business Center. And he says that we're talking in this case about role reversal. What does that mean?
Well, it means that you've always been in charge and now your child isn't of your child and now your child is in charge of you, or
right.
So it seems.
Almost like trading
but inside,
places.
They're really not.
It kind of reminds me of that movie, Freaky Friday, where the mom and daughter switch bodies and then they see each other's worlds, you know, through their own eyes. It's almost like that in a way.
That's right. When your roles are reversed, it means the position that you stood in or played for so many years is now changed.
Okay. But he is saying a game plan can help save those relationships. What's a game plan?
Well, a game plan is how you're going to play the game. But here it means that you need to have something in place. So you need to have some decisions or made about what you're going to do. You know, what's more important to you, your business or your personal relationship?
Right.
I mean, because there is a possibility that the relationship would falter, and that means it would lose its strength or there would be something that happens that would stop that relationship.
Okay. So we're kind of borrowing that term game plan from sports, right? You always have a game plan in sports. In this case, you want that personal relationship to be tough and to be able to endure and last no matter what happens on the business side. Let's continue with our final reading of the article.
Forming a deeper bond. While there can be inherent stress in these mom-child working situations, the benefits can also be big, said Kite. Hiring your mother can be something that brings you closer, he said. You're interacting as adults and getting closer and deeper on an emotional level. Construction company owner Williams says that by working with his mother, they were able to form a stronger bond. In spending more time together, he learned about his mother's personal life, her siblings, and her past professional growth. I realized after hiring her that I really didn't know much about my mom, he said. I learned to value her as a person and not just as my mom. Something else happened. She got to learn about me, he added. She was a great mom. But she really didn't know what I did or a lot about me personally. Since then, my mom and I have been more friends as opposed to just mother and son.
Okay, so working together with your mother could be beneficial in one more way. It could bring you closer to one another. So, we start with a bit of a modifier here, right? While, that always means there's a sort of an issue to mention first.
Right. So earlier today we talked about the stress of the situation, and it's called inherent stress, which means a natural or permanent quality of something. It's one of our vocabulary focus words. This kind of stress exists in this mom-child working situation. but the benefits can outweigh that.
Okay, so there is that difficulty that is bound to exist, but that doesn't mean it's not worth doing.
No, it says that hiring your mother can be something that brings you closer. And we talked about a bond of trust earlier in this lesson, and now we're going even deeper, a tighter bond between mother and son or mother and daughter. It says you're interacting as adults and getting closer and deeper on an emotional level.
Right. I think this is interesting because kids do change a lot in their 20s. And sometimes, you know, you're not as close. You're not living with your parents anymore. And you sort of don't really understand each other's personalities as much, you know, after you've been apart for a bit.
Some 20-year-olds still live with their parents.
Oh, that's true.
30-year-olds still live with their parents.
But
okay,
you're right.
Point.
Let's assume you've moved out. You're an entrepreneur with a successful business.
Yes.
And now, yes, you have brought in someone that you've never or you haven't gotten very close with recently.
Right. And also, you know, even I think of childhood friends of mine. We interacted when we were young on one level, but if we get to know each other again as adults, it's very different, and it's sort of like relearning certain things. And so I can see how that could happen in this situation as well, especially if you weren't living close to one another. The example we gave earlier, this construction company owner, Williams, explains that for him it was quite positive.
Right. It sounds like that actually they maybe had been apart for some time because he said they spent more time together and he learned about his mother's personal life, her siblings, which means her brothers and sisters, and her past professional growth. So for him, you know, he really, it looks like she opened up to him and they grew together.
Right. I've always thought of this in sort of the opposite way, where I work with people and then I think, oh, it would be nice to hang out with them sometime outside of work, maybe go to lunch or maybe have coffee so that I can get to know this other side of them. In this case, it's happening kind of in the opposite way.
That's right. By being together at work, he is now spending time with his mom and learning things that he wasn't learning when they were just mother and son. And so things like her siblings, which are stories about her brothers and sisters, and her past professional growth. So he mm-hmm. knew his mom worked in construction, but he didn't really know what she did or mm-hmm. what her skills were.
Right. Do your kids, are they familiar with your resume, Linda?
I really don't know.
Because I'm trying to
think. Not as familiar as I am.
But. Well, yeah. Like, I know some of what my parents have done professionally, but there's big gaps, you know? And sometimes I'll hear them mention something where I say, you did that? When did you work there? When did you live there? And it sometimes takes time when you're older for those conversations to come up.
I think they know what we've done since we've moved to Taiwan. I don't know if they know what we did before that.
Right.
Okay. I think our example here, Williams, he might have just met his mother for the first time.
I know. I'm kind of surprised at some of this.
Yeah. As we continue, it makes me wonder. It seems like he's not as close to his mother as I am to mine. But he realized after hiring his mom, what?
Well, that he really didn't know much about her.
Yeah.
Which is a little surprising, I'm sure, to you, our listeners, and it is to us as well. But he says he learned to value her as a person and not just as my mom. And so that's interesting. So his entire perception of her was around taking care of him and not really as her own individual.
I kind of had that feeling last spring. Oh, actually about a year ago, because our son graduated from grad school and started the profession that he's really been wanting to do. And I felt like my perception of him was changing from being his mom taking care of him to, you know, he's now this young adult embarking on his career. It was kind of, it's very hard to explain, but I saw him kind of in a different way.
Right. I think this is kind of a beautiful sentence, actually, to value people not just for what they've done for you or what nature has created them to be. You know, like, it's not just a situation anymore. It's a decision. I'm going to get to know this person. I'm going to value them for their characteristics and for what they do.
Well, you know, you have to love your mom. But everybody listen to that. But here, you know, he's also coming to see what she does outside of that caretaker position. I think
right.
That's really where the difference is.
That's right. She's put the mom hat away and taken on the role as professional, mm-hmm. and that has opened up, you know, aspects of her personality,
right.
of her background that he was never exposed to.
Yeah, but this also is something that works both ways as we continue, right? He says something else happened.
Right. This is what I find kind of surprising. She got to learn about me. She was a great mom, but she didn't really know what I did or a lot about me personally. Okay. And since then, my mom and I have been more friends as opposed to just mother and son. So my question is, what did she know about him? I mean, it's kind of weird. Sorry, but I think this is very strange.
I know what you're saying. I think it sounds to me like maybe he was keeping some of his personal and professional life a little bit private from his parents.
And I have that sort of relationship with my father. He wants to know about my kids and about things spiritually, but he doesn't really have any interest in my professional life and never has.
Right.
And I don't fault him for that. It's just about as intimate as his emotional level will allow him to get.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's past that time, then, you know, we say goodbye.
Right. Well, maybe you need to hire him.
I always make it a point, though, to ask about those things when mm-hmm. I'm talking to my kids, especially like about their professional growth. And also, I mean, I'm their mother, so I feel like I could ask about their personal life some.
But you're an especially good mother.
Oh,
well, thank you.
Anyway, regardless of how close you are to your mother, it is Mother's Day tomorrow. So I am going to challenge all of our listeners to think, what do you value about your mom, not just as your mom, but as a person? What can you tell her about that you appreciate about her? Can you do something nice for her? What's one of the things that your kids have done for you?
Well, they haven't hired me. They've done a lot of nice things for me, actually. We were talking about what kind of Mother's Day we remember. I remember when my daughter graduated from university, we went back and we were on Vancouver Island and we went to the Busch Gardens for Mother's Day tea.
Nice. Wow.
That was very fun. They
Beautiful.
Took me out.
Well, however you thank your mother for being a wonderful person, I hope that you will do that tomorrow and then come back on Monday for a new advanced program. We'll see you then. And until then, this is Naomi.
And Linda.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.